The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Hello and welcome to Nonprofit Notebook on WTBQ. My name is Patty Mack. I'm the Communications Director with Honor, and I am so excited to be back here today representing Honor and the extraordinary staff who are hard at work right now. For those of you who may not know, Honor is a nonprofit organization and social service leader in managing housing and homeless services here in New York's Hudson Valley region. We have shelters for families, for youth, for individuals. We've got housing programs, case management to help others needing our resources, as well as nutrition programs, and the single largest food pantry in Orange County. And as if that's not enough, to top it off, we are here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to help anyone in need of support, emergency housing, and we serve as a connector to many services. If you're listening now and you need that help, please give us a call anytime. Our number is 845-343-7115. And today I have a very special guest with me from Fearless Hudson Valley. I have LMR Rinaldi, and LMR is the Legal Advocacy Program Manager for Fearless. We'll be talking a little bit about the work that Fearless does, review their very, very busy month of outreach and awareness, and how Honor and Fearless collaborate together with a shared mission. And of course, you know, like every other program that we are on, how you can get involved. So right now, welcome, LMR.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thanks. It's so nice to be here.
Okay, so here's the thing about Fearless. I've learned over the past couple of years a little bit about your program. I'm an avid follower on your social media. You have great Facebook and Instagram stories, but I'd love to just talk a little bit about what is Fearless, because it's a name like Honor that sometimes it doesn't necessarily speak to all of the things that Fearless does. So what is Fearless?
Yeah, so Fearless is the Domestic Violence Agency of Orange and Sullivan County. We provide services to survivors of intimate partner violence, human trafficking, teen dating violence, sexual assault, and other crime victimization. We were formerly known as Safe Homes of Orange County.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and we did a rebranding in 2019 to incorporate all the things that we do. So we're not just doing direct service work with survivors, but we're also working to provide education and eradicate oppression in all of its forms here in the Hudson Valley.
I love that. And it's so funny because I do have a cheat sheet here. And I know we've talked, you know, emergency housing is something that I talk a lot and we collaborate. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I knew that there were many varying types of counseling and counseling kinds of services. But you do an awful lot even on the advocacy side. And that's where I was interested, you know, a little bit more as well about your job. But here's the thing about domestic violence. It's a topic that we don't talk about very often, but thankfully, here we are in October, and October is recognized nationwide as Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which means that this provides Fearless a platform to talk about the activities, to talk about the programs, to talk about you know, the support that's available and garner some media attention. So you have been very busy. You and your team, you are a small but mighty team.
Yeah, we have been busy.
So let's talk, because my first day of October was actually with you and your team in Goshen.
Yeah, we had our kickoff of the Clothesline Project. Yep.
So, I mean, it was amazing for me, but maybe you could tell us about that.
Yeah, so the Clothesline Project in particular is an awareness campaign. We bring t-shirts around the counties, and they're t-shirts that are actually made by survivors and victims and their family members of intimate partner violence. It brings not only attention to the victims that are survivors, but also the murder victims that have been killed by their intimate partners, at least since 2003. So we were able to bring awareness to that issue as well.
Wow. Okay. So I was there. The t-shirts. So essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I saw was t-shirts that almost like literally they call it the clothesline project. Think of, you know, from telephone pole to telephone pole or tree to tree.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, the last time I saw t-shirts like that was when I was doing painting projects with my children.
Yeah.
So it's very similar, right?
Yeah. Well, it also represents the work that women do, right? So it's like as if they're washing and hanging laundry together, talking about this issue. And so survivors have brought t-shirts that they have decorated. So we have things from, you know, artists making beautiful t-shirts to words to pictures of family members. And we're able to hang those up to really bring awareness to the mass, you know, issue that is mm-hmm. domestic violence, not only in our counties, but like you said, nationwide. So during Domestic Violence Awareness Month, we call it DVAM. We bring these t-shirts out and it really brings a lot of attention because folks are Absolutely. So curious, right? Yes. Like why we have all of these t-shirts at the Government Center in Goshen. That's where we saw each other. That's the kickoff.
Right.
That's our main event where we do our big press release and everybody comes and it also gives us an opportunity to do education and outreach in the community. But we bring it from location to location, so we bring it to the mall.
So I did not know that.
Yeah, it travels. It travels with us.
So where did you go?
So we went to the Crystal Run Mall, the Government Center in Sullivan County. I know it was in Garnet Hospital, I believe, at least outside of Cornerstone here on Lake Street in Newburgh. So it really, it's in different locations, and every t-shirt is cataloged. Right. So we know exactly who's made it, where it came from. We don't always get to put up every single t-shirt because there's just so many of them. Right. But we do have our log there. Yeah. Unfortunately,
there had to have been over 500 of them, many hundreds of them.
And the opportunity that we have during DVAM is to really destigmatize the conversation around intimate partner violence in ways that we aren't normally afforded.
I love that the shirts themselves, in fact, they may even be available on social media. There was some news stories. I know News 12 covered
it. Yeah, and it's on our social media. And one of the other things that you'll see is the names of each one of the victims that I had spoken about earlier, the murder victims. We make sure that we memorialize them on our social media page. It's has quite an effect on people that come. It really is impactful. We do have advocates there while the t-shirts are hanging to talk to individuals and support them because it really is a powerful, powerful awareness campaign.
It's not for the faint of heart. It was, I took almost like a private stroll by myself.
And we do invite folks to really walk the line and take it in. We were fortunate that it happened during the farmers market this year. So we had a big show out and it was, a really big opportunity for folks who have never seen it before. We do have folks that come each year to support us and to see the t-shirts. But really, you could take a good chunk of time walking the line, fortunately and unfortunately, right?
Well, and there was a very large turnout. I think I saw political leaders, community leaders, partners, volunteers. You have a nice volunteer base.
Yeah, we do. Very lucky.
And you know, there was no, and even some folks from the farmers market, which was pretty remarkable. I do want to just talk a little bit about realistically, these kinds of services. Is it, how does somebody learn or get involved and what can they expect if they're concerned that they might be a victim? Maybe they think they are a victim or they don't know if they are a victim. Do people just call you during business hours?
So fortunately and unfortunately, folks get connected through word of mouth. Okay. We do have, a strong social media presence and we do have partnerships with systems-based services, right? Including Honor. So we do get referrals that way, but folks can call our 24-hour hotline. I can plug that number right now if that's okay. Yeah, so it's 845-562-5340. That number is available 24 hours a day, and we have bilingual staff. We also have a language line, so that language accessibility should not be a barrier to connecting to our services. And again, that's a 24-hour hotline. Our business hours are 9 to 5, but we also have a web chat feature on our website.
Oh.
So for folks that are feeling a little maybe more timid, I know that younger folks really like to connect that way. They can connect on our website.
It's completely private and confidential.
Private and confidential, and they can learn more about our services that way. Oftentimes people call because they're not sure if what they're experiencing is domestic violence because it doesn't necessarily look like how it's been portrayed in the media.
Absolutely.
Yeah, or what they're used to expecting. Yeah.
And that's interesting because here, you know, here at WTBQ and in our surrounding areas, mm-hmm. there are some social media groups that I follow. And there's things that nuances that speak to uncomfortable situations that women and men and children and families experience. But it sounds like people can just call, even if they don't really know what to do or where to go. It may not necessarily go from, you know, 0 to 100 degrees.
Well, and also, not only do we provide services to children and adult survivors of intimate partner violence, but we also support their family members. It's not uncommon for a parent to call and say, listen, I see this happening with my teen child. What do you think? What can I do? Oftentimes we have service providers that are calling and saying, hey, I have this client and I'm not really quite sure what to talk to them about or how mm-hmm. to approach the situation with them. So we counsel even service providers with having these types of conversations with their clients. So it's not just for direct survivors.
Wow. All right. So we're going to take a short break, LMR, and then we're going to come back and we're going to deep dive into a little bit more of that and how to get involved.
Great.
This is Chris Molinelli, Executive Director of Honor. Honor has been providing hope through hospitality since 1974. Our services include temporary housing, clothing, food, and a safe environment, along with a 20-bed inpatient rehab facility, all with dignity while teaching self-esteem. Honor also offers runaway and homeless teens a safe place called a friend's house, providing the necessities so they can begin their life. So if you or someone you know are in need, please visit honorhelpingothers.org for more information and let us help.
Hi, this is John Tesh. Tune in for great music and intelligence for your life on weekdays at 1 p.m. as we assemble the tips, the facts, and the news you need to be happier, healthier, more lovable, and more fun to be around. Radio worth listening to.
We put the intelligence out there. You decide what to do with it.
WTBQ.
Okay, and this is Patty Mack from Honor, and I am excited again to be back today talking with LMR. LMR is the program manager
for legal advocacy.
Legal advocacy program manager, forgive mm-hmm. me, for Fearless Hudson Valley. And if you're just joining us now, we're having a great conversation about Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And, you know, we were talking during the break about the programs that are offered, which are available, by the way, via chat 24/7 online. You can call them, and we'll give that number again at the end of the show. But, you know, you said something that I thought was really interesting. We were talking about, you know, the awareness that Domestic Violence Awareness Month offers, a platform to not just talk about the services that are offered, but almost like the antidote of what domestic violence is. And that is stepping up and amping up to what a healthy relationship is. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Really, it's highlighting healthy relationships is really important and what to look for, because it's really easy for each one of us to look at media, social media, our own relationships, right? And think about things that were red light behaviors or dangerous behaviors or unhealthy relationships, right? Mm-hmm. It's also really easy to romanticize relationships that we see that are unhealthy and we think of them as being healthy, right? So thinking about green light behaviors like conversations about consent, having, you know, anti-racism practices in conversations with, again, service providers, clients, intimate relationships. When we talk about healthy relationships, we don't just mean between intimate partners, right? Because we all need practice in the way that we relate to one another.
Absolutely.
So those are some of the tips that I can think of. I do want to plug one thing, though, and that is our 5K. The T-shirt clothesline project is a very serious and impactful awareness campaign. Mm-hmm. But we just had our 5K on Sunday. And I want to plug the 5K because while it's a it is our fundraiser in October that we do. So we appreciate everybody that turned out this weekend at
LMR. I will tell you something. There, do not be ashamed about having fundraising. It fuels your mission.
Yeah, absolutely. And I the shameless plug is because I run it. So I love for folks to come and join and participate. But it's a way for not only for fundraising, but it allows us to come together with community members in a positive way that we're not always able to do during the time that we're doing our work. So we have past survivors that come, we have community members, service providers, and it really is a fun day. So keep an eye out next October for that event.
That sounds great. So it's almost like all of these weeks you've been doing all kinds of outreach, all kinds of awareness.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that you are not just talking about, remembrance, but you're also providing tools and resources for folks and helping explain and understand what a healthy, respectful relationships are.
Yeah. And it gives me a little bit of a change of pace. I'm usually working in legal advocacy, right? So this also gives my team and myself the opportunity to be more involved in the community and doing different types of activities. So
I'm so glad that you just mentioned that because the word advocacy, some people have different definitions versus other definitions. So I was hoping that maybe you could help us understand, like, what's a day in the life, or maybe no day is the same.
Yeah, no 2 days are the same, definitely. Even going into my 7th year, there are days where I encounter new things and learn new things along the way. But I will say that mostly when I explain to new advocates what their role is we're cheerleaders, we're note takers. We're really there just to provide a space where individuals can explore their next steps with dignity, right? So it's easy to say that we can empathize with somebody, but it's even more important to provide these services in a space where individuals can experience what they're doing in a dignified way. I'm not really giving anything to survivors. I'm there alongside them as they're figuring out what it is that's best for them.
Are you almost like a roadmap for someone to let people know where there are opportunities, where there are places to go, where to get things that they need maybe for their children or their pets?
Well, I appreciate you also talking about your pantry. We have pantry services. We have in-person services. We're going alongside survivors to family court, criminal court, things like that. But I'm glad you mentioned pets. One of the things that deters people from leaving a relationship, right, is they don't have anywhere to bring their pets, or they don't want to go into shelter because they can't bring their pets. So we actually have a partnership with Safe Pets Project that allows, not only do we do shelter screenings for individuals to come to our confidential shelter, but we screen their pets as well. So that won't be a deterrent for them to access safety to figure out their next steps.
You thought of everything.
Well, we have a good team. We're, like I said, we're in our 38th year. So I'm going into my 7th, but we have a great, really visionary administrative team and board of directors, and we're very lucky to do the work that we do in the way that we're able to do it in our two counties.
So you're based in Newburgh.
So we have an office in Newburgh. Okay. We're also based out of the Sullivan County Government Center. We don't take walk-ins there. That's by appointment only. But at our Newburgh office, it's 280 Broadway on the 3rd floor. So folks know the big silver fin on Broadway. We're in that big glass building. It's a walk-in center, so folks can come in from 9 to 1. From 9 to 5. We're there from, I'm giving myself a shorter day. We're there from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. On government holidays, we're closed. But like I said, our 24-hour hotline is never closed. It's 845 562-5340. Our web chat isn't 24 hours a day. It's just business hours Monday through Friday. Yeah. Every day, every hour, we are there on the hotline and somebody's on the other end.
And that will mean even on Halloween while trick-or-treating. This will mean on Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving, New Year's Day.
It means anytime people have a need to talk with someone. It's there.
Somebody's there, even if it's just to talk through some thoughts because you don't know what you're experiencing.
Right. Which is a great segue for what Fearless does in collaboration with Honor.
Yeah.
I'm still learning so much about what Honor does. I mean, we've got more than two dozen different kind of programs, and it's hard to absorb it all. But I do know that we've been partners and supporters on something called the Safe Harbors Initiative. Something called Housing First and Rapid Rehousing.
Yeah.
So this is very daunting to me, the Safe Harbors Initiative. Last year, when I came to support the Clothesline Project, I was talking with someone about sex and labor trafficking.
Yeah.
And specifically of youth here in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you might think, I just never thought that there could be sex and labor trafficking right here in Orange County.
Yeah, and we know that youth are most susceptible to being trafficked. And we also know that women and children are more susceptible to being homeless, right? And mm-hmm. so we know that best way that you can encourage a young person to get close to you, right, is offer them the things that they need. This idea of stranger danger really is an antiquated idea mm-hmm. about how children can become victims. And so really young children are at the highest risk for being trafficked. So
it's and still I can feel almost a hollow in my chest just even saying it. It's daunting and it's crazy to think that this is happening, but it is, and it's real. But at Honor, we have a children's or a youth shelter
mm-hmm.
For children, literally, and their teen mother,
yeah,
up to age 17.
And that's a friend's house, right?
Yep,
yeah,
a friend's house. And there are things that we do that we work with Fearless. We do screening. They do an assessment. There's risk factors that our trained staff are doing and working with boys, girls, youth are coming to
mm-hmm.
us. There's a lot of educational information. And if there is something like what you were talking about, like those red flags, that's where Honor and Fearless jump in and work together. So how does that work?
So those screenings that you're doing are for referrals to our Safe Harbors Initiative program, right? So if there are service providers, teachers, members in the community that are concerned about trafficking youth, they can make a referral to our Safe Harbors program through mm-hmm. our hotline. Again, 845-562-5340. And so while folks do call and ask for us to do outreach to survivors of intimate partner violence and human trafficking, we know that that's not always safe to do, but we do have the referral program for youth. Mm-hmm. So folks can get connected to our hotline, make a referral that way. And hopefully we can get connected to youth that are at risk of trafficking.
Right. So, and this isn't just about youth. We have other programs that we are collaborating on. And maybe we could just talk very briefly about that. We have a program called Housing First, and this is specifically, and you can elaborate on mm-hmm. How it gets to victims and families of domestic violence, where Honor works with you to find and support permanent
housing.
Supportive housing.
So I do want to say that we know that domestic violence doesn't discriminate. There's no one type of victim. We do know that everybody knows somebody, right, whether we know it or not, that has been impacted by intimate partner violence. But and we do know that a large component of domestic violence, intimate partner violence, is financial abuse, right? So it affects folks in every socioeconomic category. But because we know that domestic violence is the leading cause for homelessness for women and children, we have this great partnership with Honor, which we're very grateful for. We know that Honor takes on the administrative responsibilities of this program. And so they write the grants and they administer the grants, which I know is a huge part of what makes these programs work. But for Housing First, we've had this partnership since 2017. It's safe and affordable housing to survivors and their children. It's subsidized rental assistance and case management. Unfortunately, though, since the beginning of the program, it has remained full. And so that really tells you that there's a huge need for the intersecting issue of housing insecurity and domestic violence.
Absolutely. I can't even stress enough that the need is so great, more than we can do. And oftentimes, you know, our shelters are full.
Right. And so here in Orange County, we do have a confidential location where it's not a housing solution, though, right? It's a place where survivors can go to figure out their next steps. Mm-hmm. We know that the most dangerous time for a survivor is when they leave an abusive relationship. And we also know that service providers that are, like you said, advocates are not the only folks that are working with survivors. So I just want to say that if I could leave anybody with anything today, and I know that we're wrapping up, is that we're all connected to survivors in the work that we do daily, from teachers, hairdressers, dentists.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate the efforts that we're all making to educate ourselves and support survivors.
Okay, great. So thank you so much, LMR from Fearless,
thank you
for
so
joining
much.
Us.
Thanks for having me.
More information, just check us out on Facebook at Honor and at Fearless.
Thank you.